Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Phoenix, Arizona, it's time for Phoenix Business Radio, spotlighting the city's best businesses and the people who lead them.
Welcome to Ladies Leadership Circle in partnership with Phoenix Business Radio, where we are live from the Business Radio X studio in the East Valley and brought to you by the men and women who lived it. I'm your host, Joanne Holland, along with my co-host, Karen Nowicki. So we're excited to be here today as we have some amazing guests, Karen. And I'm going to start off and let the gentleman introduce himself, Dr. Mahabir.
Yes, thank you.
Thank you. And if you'd share a little bit about us and your specialty, sir, and with our audience.
Well, I'd love to. Thank you. And thank you for having me today. I know I understand maybe there's not a lot of men have been on this show. So it's a privilege to be here. And I really do appreciate you having me. I'm a plastic surgeon, originally from Canada, born on the East Coast, did my medical school and residency training there. And then for fear of cold and just not being loving the desert, I eventually moved down south and have been here ever since, been in practice for 12 years. And the vast majority of my practice focuses on breast cancer survivors, breast cancer reconstruction. And so myself and Dr. Brian Gawley were in partnership at Gawley Plastic Surgery, and it's an honor and privilege to be involved in the care of those patients.
Wow, 12 years. Well, welcome.
Thanks.
It's great. And next we have Leanne Porter from Tina's Treasures. Leanne, go ahead and introduce yourself.
I work for Tina's Treasures, and I've been there for 6 years. And Tina's Treasures is the cancer care boutique inside the Virginia Piper Cancer Center, part of Honor Health. And it is a boutique designed to support the patients and cancer survivors and their families. It's a boutique that is named in honor of Tina Johnson, who was a cancer survivor. And she dreamed of a special shop where individuals and families could, facing cancer, could come in and find the help they need on their journeys. So what we do, along with my staff, is we see patients who have had breast surgery. We see them pre and post a surgery. And whether a woman chooses reconstruction or not, we can assist her with full or partial breast prosthesis and mastectomy bras to offer the patient after healing. And Tina's Treasures does have a full wig salon inside. And when you come into the boutique, you might think it's just a gift shop because that wig salon is in the back, but we do offer that. And we have some other services that maybe we'll get to later in the program.
Yeah, because you don't have to have cancer to go to Tina's Treasures.
Absolutely not.
Yes, a lot of my Christmas gifts come from
there. I remember you saying that we had Nancy McCutcheon on several months back, and I remember both Joanne and Nancy speaking so highly about Tina's Treasures and really the breadth of offerings that you guys have, not only for the patient, but also for the family. And a lot of
absolutely
joy that comes out of that little shop.
I'm fortunate enough I get to buy all the items that are in Tina's. So,
yes, you do a great job.
Thanks.
We have Brittany Gaines joining us from National Hair Loss. So, Brittany.
Yes, thanks for having me again.
Yes.
It's a pleasure being
back
here. So last time I know we talked a lot about our services, but for me this time, I think it's all about women's health and women's hair loss, especially since we're here with our ladies leadership and you kind of go out to everybody, both in the young ages all the way up to the people in the retirement ages. So again, thank you for having me. I'm the senior brand director at National Hair Loss. I didn't actually plan to work in the hair loss industry. My background's in criminal justice. I started working in the marketing industry. And then in 2014, I started experiencing my own hair loss. I got alopecia areata, had no idea how I got it. It was both scary and disheartening, trying to find answers to it. And like I say to most people, this job right here at National Hair Loss is a godsend. Everybody on my team has experienced hair loss like myself. So we get it. We definitely get it.
Wow. That's amazing. Well, I know the three of you have something in common that's coming up, and that is there is a community event coming up at the Virginia G. Piper Cancer Care Center on 92nd on Shea, coming up on Tuesday, September 25th from 5 to 8 p.m. that you're all going to be a part of. And I do want to reiterate to the community that this is a complimentary event
that you don't have to be a patient of Honor Health. You don't have to be, you just have to live in this community and be available to go from 5 to 8 on Tuesday, September 25th. So what I'd like to ask each of you is, what is going to be your role at that event? And maybe Leanne too, is kind of tell us what the people who attend will experience. So Doctor, I'll start with you first and what your role is that evening.
Yeah, I'm actually really excited about this event. It's a chance to really connect with our community, for people to come out. And one of the things that I'm passionate about, breast cancer, breast reconstruction, but even more than that, just patient education. Getting the information into the hands and minds of patients so that they can make educated decisions for themselves. And so my role that evening is I'm actually going to give a talk with pictures, before and afters, what you can expect before, during, and after surgery, and really the full gambit of what breast reconstruction is now today, because there have been fantastic developments even in the last decade that has really revolutionized the care and treatment of these patients. And so what I'm going to have that talk from 6 to 6:30. Everyone's welcome to attend and really just an educational event for anyone that wants to be there.
Thanks. That sounds great. I know I'm looking forward to it.
And Dr. Mahabir will be there to answer questions, because the ladies that we see at Tina's Treasures will sometimes have questions that we're not qualified to answer. So this is their time for them to come and be able to ask the doctor one-on-one some of those questions that we get. So, and just to clarify, the event is going to be held over at the hospital on the Honor Health. Yes, at the Brady Conference Center. So I didn't want people showing up at the wrong location.
But your team is great about sending us to the right one, because I've done that before. So I was very happy, and I got to take a little tour of the hospital from the long route. So it was kind of cool.
Absolutely. Brittany and I have been working all summer putting this event together. There'll be over 30 vendors in various disciplines for everybody to visit with.
Oh, that's great. And your role that night, I know I've seen you do some great scarf demonstrations before, and that's always been fantastic, even if you do have hair.
Yeah, so that night, Leanne and I are actually going to be emceeing the most of the evening, so please feel free to enjoy us that night. We're going to try to be a little Coda and Kathy Lee over there.
Yeah, very fun.
But for us, for National Hair Loss, obviously we're there to educate. Again, like Dr. Mahabir says, is that number one and the most important thing is education, especially when it comes to hair loss. There's a lot of truth and misconceptions out there. So Carly is actually going to be speaking as well, the founder of National Hair Loss, on the truth and misconceptions in female hair loss. So that goes from everything from learning what's causing your hair loss to going into different treatments that are available, including FDA-cleared products. And then again, just education, because most of us women think we go in there, it's our thyroid causing our hair loss, but we've never heard of genetic hair loss before. So there's, again, a variety of options that we go through for treatments too. So all about education for us at this point in this event.
Well, I think, you know, Karen, as you think about it, education is key for everyone, because you may not be suffering from cancer today, and hopefully you'll never suffer it in your lifetime. But if something tragic to you or to someone in your family or thing, to be that much more educated ahead of the game than after is so vital.
I have a personal story right now. She's actually a new friend of mine, was recently diagnosed with breast cancer. And when I started to talk to her about all the services that were available, it was as if she had no idea that she needed to get a new skincare regimen, look at the products she was using, know that there's all these oncology-safe services that are available, not only for here in the community, but, I mean, boxing, skincare, aromatherapy, nutrition. We have Honor Health Chef demos coming, yoga classes that are free for cancer patients that they have no idea. $10, I think, for the community for a yoga class.
That's right.
Yeah. So it's, again, it's all the resources that are available for people too. And it's not just about women's health. It's about also having oncology safe services too.
Well, we're all impacted, right? Whether we've experienced it personally or not. I just went up to Munn's Park with 8 of my high school girlfriends. And, you know, it's been a few years since we've graduated. And out of the 8 of us, 2 have are breast cancer survivors. And another 2 have had another kind of cancer. And it's, you know, it's very sombering when we have conversations about it, and very celebratory too. So we're never too many steps away from having some of this experience and needing to be educated. I'm curious, How did you land in this end of medicine? You mentioned obviously coming from Canada, but academically and really just from heart, how did you land with this as your profession and chosen career?
Well, in medical school, you kind of decide along the way what you're interested in. I always knew surgery was for me. I liked working with my hands. I liked the artistic ability of it. But then in plastic surgery, what I found was an opportunity to really connect, not just surgically, like being able to do the surgery, but also connect with the patients, connect with the communities, and really develop and build something. So plastic surgeons oftentimes are viewed in the community as one particular subset. But in mm-hmm. fact, plastic surgery is a humongous field, and that's really what attracted me. And the further I got into it, the more I realized this connection to breast cancer and reconstruction was really a special opportunity. And so patient advocacy, shared decision-making, all of those things really struck home for me that it was an opportunity to really make a difference on a larger scale. And so then it just kind of grew from there.
So if I can ask, yeah. who is a candidate for breast reconstruction? Who would that be?
Yeah, you know, that's a great question. And the simple answer is almost everybody's a candidate for breast reconstruction these days. And that's one of the things that Dr. Gall and I are truly passionate about, because we both started practice just over 12 years ago. And when we came into practice, what we were finding was women were coming into our office that had never had reconstruction. And we were telling them, well, you can. And they're like, well, we were told we never could. So, you know, fast forward a couple of years, one of the things that we did first on a state level and now at a national level was say, okay, well, how is it that 70% of women are never being told that they're a candidate for reconstruction at all? Mm-hmm. And so we formalized a bill, we passed it in a couple of states, and then eventually in 2015, Obama signed it into law, the Breast Cancer Patient Education Act.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Congratulations.
Thanks. Yeah. Well, it wasn't just me. I mean, that was a grassroots effort.
I get it, somebody's got to be charging that effort, and it sounds like you were a big portion of that.
Yeah, myself and the American Society of Plastic Surgeons put together a team that went and lobbied in Washington for a week a year, every year, until it finally did pass. And what the bill says is that anywhere that's going to offer the services of mastectomy or treat breast cancer patients has to also at least offer those same patients the information, not necessarily the service. And it's every patient's right to decide whether it's right for them or not.
But you've got to know. To Brittany's
right.
point
exactly.
a few moments ago, if you're not aware, how do you know what your choices are?
So that's the focus of the bill, which is getting the information and education out there.
And since, I'm sorry, what year did you say this was? It was...
So it passed in 2015, but, you know, a bill becoming law is a law, but then the implementation of that takes longer.
And that's what I was going to ask. I mean, you're starting to finally, hopefully, see the effects. Although you guys have been doing it all along, I can't help but wonder how many other practices and surgeons or doctors are having this conversation and handing out that needed information.
Well, we see many patients that have chosen reconstruction, and I don't know if that's because of our location and where we are. I don't know if there's more reconstruction. Maybe, doctor, you can talk to that. Is it more offered in the West than it would be in the East?
If you're talking about the parts of the city, mm-hmm. I think you're absolutely right. There's different amounts of plastic surgeons offering those services in different parts of the city. And certainly the more concerning is as you get further out of the city, more of the remote places, smaller towns, smaller cities like Yuma.
The rural communities.
Yeah, they're less well served. Mm-hmm. But certainly, again, we're just trying to get that message out there that even if it's not an option at the time of your mastectomy, you want to get your closer to home. Those reconstructions can happen later too, and the services are always available to you.
So the timing of a breast reconstruction, you kind of point, what is that? What does that look like? And
yeah.
I realize every patient is different.
Every patient's different, but one of the biggest pushes of late is to do what's called immediate breast reconstruction, which, you know, there's some colloquial terms like one and done, but essentially it's having your breast reconstruction at the same time as your mastectomy.
Yes. Wow.
And for many women, that's an option, and not just an option, but it's one surgery, one recovery, one, you know, kind of deal with it all and be done. For other people, they're a little bit overwhelmed by that diagnosis and they just need to deal with their cancer first. And absolutely, and again, they can make their decision and then reconstruction later. So that's the delayed reconstruction, mastectomy first, recover, get that all done, get all your cancer treatments done, and then come back and have your reconstruction later.
And do you make any recommendations? Like I know you said it's up to the patient, but if you had the perfect patient, would you say one and done?
Well, again, that's a great question because, you know, every patient's different, every breast is different. But in terms of ability to create an aesthetically pleasing breast, and let's face it, the focus is cancer. Treat the cancer, treat the cancer, treat the cancer. But when the cancer's done, and what we tell patients, you know, eventually your cancer's going to be done, you're going to get through this, you're going to be on the other side. In order for us to give you the best breast reconstruction we can, absolutely immediate breast reconstructions just end up with better aesthetic results. And so when it's right for the patient, when it's right for the cancer, when it's right in that setting, it's definitely your best option.
And Brittany, with hair loss, obviously going through chemo, radiation, when is the time to come see National Hair Loss? Or
anytime when you get the first diagnosis to when you first start noticing hair loss. Again, we offer complimentary hair evaluations. We're located within the Virginia Piper Cancer Center at Honor Health Shea Campus. And then thanks to technology, we're also able to offer virtual evaluations. So anybody that has a cell phone can FaceTime us, Skype us, WhatsApp. Thanks to all these different modalities, we're able to help people not only here in Arizona, but outside of the states and outside of the country. So they can come, they can go on our website, they can give a call to our office, they can reach out to us on Instagram, any social media sites through there, and they can just ask for it. And they can have as many complimentary evaluations, because all we do is we start with education. What's causing your hair loss? Once we get that identified, if it's a hormonal hair loss, we can't treat that with our modalities because it's something internally going on. So we want to get the hormones fixed. And then once those are stabilized, they can come back and see us to try to recover the hair.
So it's not a not ever. It's a let's make sure we treat the symptom and figure out what's happening. And then if this is still an issue, we can help you.
Correct. And all of our programs come with one-on-one consulting for up to a year. So if you buy a product from us, it's not a, hey, here you go, good luck. You're getting our guidance. You're getting our support. You're getting the one-on-one feedback to say, if I'm starting to lose hair, if this isn't working right, okay, let's address that now. And we're checking in with them every 90 days to get their photos and to just really evaluate with them. And I think that support right there is what makes us so successful.
Wow. And FDA-approved products, do you have? I mean, and how important is that?
Yeah, right now, especially the FDA products that we use they're FDA-approved. It's laser therapy. They use red laser in there. There's no side effects to it, and all it's trying to do is stimulate blood flow to the follicles. What happens is that you get knockoff lasers that are out there that are possibly using LED lights that don't really have any scientific value to, you know, stimulating blood flow or anything like that. And so now you have this woman who went on the internet and bought a hat from Amazon and has no idea how to use it. And let's say she starts shedding right away. Well, in our eyes, she could call us and say, I'm starting to shed right away. That's okay. You're probably in your shedding phase right now. That's part of the process, the hair growth process. Mm. There's something coming in behind it. But what happens is that woman starts shedding and she stops using the product altogether. And now she's accelerated that hair loss, but she's not doing anything to stimulate that new regrowth. So now it's made it worse for her in her eyes. So again, that's probably what's most important, is that our products are FDA cleared to stimulate growth and that we follow your progress throughout this time.
Yeah, that
too.
Consultation and that education is so critical.
Yeah. And then Leanne, at Tina's Treasures, how you mentioned the wigs are in the back.
They are.
Okay.
Well, it's a private wig salon, so they are in the back. But we do that by design, so a woman can take off her head covering and have the privacy that she requires to try on different wigs and feel comfortable wearing something that she's maybe never worn before. And we encourage them to bring a friend, a husband, a daughter, somebody with them that can give them some great feedback about, no, that's not you. Oh, let's try this.
Yeah, and so the platinum blonde I want to become just wouldn't be.
You know what? You could try it
on. I want to see that.
Leanne's very modest. We've sent a lot of patients over to Tina's Treasures over the years, and I've seen them come back, and it's almost life-changing for some of them when they've gone through chemotherapy, they're on the other side of it, but they don't have their hair. They can go and they come back with these absolutely fantastic wigs that some of them are so happy with, they keep them for a long time. So even when their new hair is grown back, they're like, I'm still going to wear this for a while. So the products you're providing, the service you're providing, and really the care and environment, our patients certainly appreciate that.
Well, I think I can speak for my entire staff. There's only five of us, but each of us loves what we do. And each of us has been touched by cancer, whether it's breast cancer, you know, in one way or another. So we all have some type of tie to that. And so we know how that feels. And it is a very personal connection. you know, with us and all the ladies that we see.
Sorry, Joanne.
No, go ahead.
I was going to say, I hear that theme from each of you, that really it's that care and that connection. I had a cancer scare several years back. Fortunately, it didn't end up being that. But it made a huge difference that my provider was as concerned and as connected with me as I needed her to be. When you look back at your life, each of you, and you're an advocate for someone going through a cancer experience, what word of wisdom would you have for not only that individual, but also the family? I apologize for putting you on the spot, but I the depth of the conversation is such that each of you share this special piece, this unique talent and ability to care deeply for people who are going through, quite honestly,
the most difficult time of their life,
quite possibly. Mm-hmm. So a word of wisdom to someone who may be just recently diagnosed and on their cancer journey, and for their support family and friends. What might you have to offer?
Right now I'm reading this book. It's called The Energy Bus, and it's all about having people on your bus that have positive energy. And if somebody doesn't have that positive energy, leave them at the bus stop. And guess what? Your bus is going to come back around. And if they want to hop on the bus that time, bring them back on. And if they're not being right, then kick them off the bus again.
Yeah,
but the most important thing is to have a positive energy bus, and that's what will keep you going forward.
Great kickoff.
Brittany, that's a brilliant analogy. Yeah,
that's great.
Couldn't agree more. I'm a firm believer in the power of positive thinking, however you want to phrase that, look at it. But absolutely, surround yourself with the positive images, positive energy. And for the caregivers, you said, what other advice would you have for the caregivers? Mm-hmm. I think one of the most common things or pieces of advice that I could give that I think really helps and has helped me at different points in time is to not forget to take care of yourself. Because gosh, if the caregiver gets worn out, they're just that much less able to really help, again, contribute that positive energy back to the person that really needs it. So to remember to take that little bit of time for yourself too is really important.
That's big. Yeah.
For the patient to seek support, it's okay to ask for support, to ask for help. It's okay. You don't have to have all the answers. There's other people out there, and just to reach out, it's okay.
And I think too, what I know over the years, what Honor Health has really educated me on is check to see what free services are out there. Because trust me, if you want to pay for something, there's stuff out there. Everywhere.
Absolutely.
But in the community, there are so many things that the patient themselves may receive complimentary, the patient's family may receive a reduced fee because of what they're going through, or you'll also have the contacts to say, you know, it's not I, but here's who you should connect with for that service, or call about this or do that.
Absolutely. And I think Tina's Treasures has... we have forged relationship with all types of programs in the community. So when a lady comes into Tina's Treasures, even if we're not contracted with her insurance and that isn't something, you know, that's going to happen, she leaves with everything she needs. We'll make sure that she leaves and she feels good about her experience.
And that's so important, especially at that time of what you're going through.
Mm-hmm.
And let me ask you, doctor, so the surgery, the reconstruction, everything, is it covered by insurance these days, or how does that work?
So, in fact, in 1998, one of the most helpful things Congress did in that year, in my opinion, was to pass the Women's Health Act.
Wait, Congress does something good.
Absolutely.
Wait, we have to go back 10 years ago, but okay, go ahead.
No, really, the Women's Health Act stated by law that every woman that has a mastectomy is entitled to and guaranteed coverage for her breast reconstruction, and not only on the cancer side, but on the other side. So whatever needs to be done to the other side to make them match, and I know that Leanne can tell us that they don't always match either before or after surgery, but that law actually says whatever needs to be done to the other side, even if it's a cosmetic augment to make them match, that's going to be covered as well.
I never heard that piece of it. That's huge.
Well, see, that's the piece of information that wasn't getting out. That's what the Breast Cancer Patient Education Act was about.
Yeah. Like,
we want to disseminate this information because it is covered. It is mandated by law. No matter what you've heard, no matter what you've experienced, it's a covered benefit.
Wow.
It is. And if a patient isn't a candidate for reconstructive surgery, there are breast prosthesis and mastectomy bras, which are pocketed bras in which house that breast prosthesis. And those are mandated to be covered by insurance.
And you have a line of those, obviously, at Tina's Treasures, so that those options are there.
Absolutely. In my opinion, I think we have the best selection and the broadest selection in the Southwest.
And I apologize, you may have literally just said this. My mind went elsewhere. I kind of pictured myself in the boutique. Will those prosthetics, those kinds of things, be covered by insurance as well?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely. The breast prosthetic and the mastectomy bras that would house that.
Wonderful.
It's mandated that those are covered by insurance.
And you have people that come around from around the country.
Yes.
To get fitted by you annually.
And
or
the ladies. All of us that are certified mastectomy fitters are certified by both accrediting agencies in the country, which makes us some of the top 1% in the nation.
That's huge.
Right.
Yeah. We should have led with that. Yeah, right here in Arizona. That's a big deal.
We're very proud of that.
Yeah.
Well, and when you think about just even what Honor Health is so ahead sometimes of what the needs are in the community, when you think about from a genetic counseling standpoint, there's only 12 genetic counselors in the entire state of Arizona. Three of them are employed by Honor Health.
Absolutely.
So you have, so you have a quarter, you have 25% of, where no one else can say that. So it's so ahead, but so important.
And one of those genetic counselors, just to bounce back to our event, will be available at the event to talk with you.
And before we go back to the event, because I know there's a lot more we can cover about that, Brittany, insurance-wise, where does hair loss fall into this? And can you give us a little bit of a picture, however broad it might be?
Unfortunately, it's still considered a cosmetic need. So most people can try to work with their insurance to get it covered through that. The one thing that we pride ourselves on is that we will never say no to anybody. So if a cancer patient comes in, a woman from the community comes in and can't physically afford or financially afford our services, we will either complimentary have them do an in-house service with us or provide some sort of hair care to them. But again, we don't want a woman to feel like she has found her hope. And then for us to say, I'm sorry, you don't financially afford this. So we will do whatever we can, similar to Tina's Treasures, to make sure that they feel like they're getting some sort of treatment from us.
That's huge. Going back to the breast reconstruction and traumatic of what that whole process is, because you've gotten this overwhelming news that and things. And I think getting breast cancer today is very different from 20 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
The survival rate, the care rate, what you had to do to survive. But talk a little bit, doctor, about using your patient's own tissue for the reconstruction. Is that the norm now? Is that not the norm? Like, what does that involve?
It's a much smaller subset of patients that are going to go down that route. It's an operation that I actually spent an extra year in training, just really learning that operation and learning it really well. And essentially, the simplified version is, as we get less young, we often develop a little bit of extra tissue in places maybe we don't want it.
Oh.
And so then we can actually
now we have a purpose for it.
We can use that tissue to remake your breast. So the most common one is to use your abdomen, similar to doing
a tummy
tuck. I'm familiar with that area.
We take the extra skin and fat from your abdomen. We find a little artery and vein in that tissue, and we literally transplant it up to your breast. Find an artery and vein where the breast used to be, and we remake the entire breast out of your own skin and fat. Now, again, that's not for everybody, but for the patients that it's the right operation for, they're reconstructed with their own tissue. It lasts forever. There's no revision. I mean, it's their own tissue. It's their own living piece of tissue up there making their breast.
And is that becoming, I don't want to say part of the norm, but part of that another box that says, okay, here's option C.
Yeah, absolutely. As part of that shared decision-making process, we get that information to them. And it's really about getting to know your patients, because that's a bigger surgery, bigger operation, bigger recovery. And for the young mother of two, it might not be the operation.
Right.
You know, it's about getting the right operation for the right patient. But yeah, plastic surgery training programs across the country, that's part of their training now. And so as we graduate those new plastic surgeons, if they choose to, they can make that part of their repertoire of options that they offer patients.
Wow. That's incredible. What science.
It's amazing. What is the recovery time? And again, I know there's some variances, but I feel like I just recently heard somebody say that they had a double mastectomy and went home that day or the next day. Am I crazy to think that that's possible?
No. In fact, we're doing bilateral mastectomy, and if they need their lymph nodes done as well as their reconstruction, and they can still go home the same day.
Wow. Back in the day, even 12 years ago when you first started practicing, we're talking about several days in the hospital?
Oh, sometimes a week even.
Right.
Yeah.
Now you got to be dying for that thing to be 5 days in the hospital.
And I know we could have the big debate between, you know, is it better that we stay in the hospital and we're cared for there, or are we happy to be home where we can get some sleep and are not interrupted all the time? So I know obviously most of it's facilitated by, I'm going to make that assumption. Is most of that decision facilitated by insurance, or is it more so that the ability for the body to heal and then they can be at home?
I think we've actually just gotten a lot better at surgeries, a lot better at treating the whole patient. I did a master's degree in pain control after breast surgery, actually. And so one of the things that my practice focuses on is trying to minimize the amount of discomfort people have after surgery. Because what's the main reason a patient would stay in hospital after a mastectomy?
The pain management.
Pain control.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So if we can do things before, actually, and especially before, but even during surgery to help control the pain that they're going to have after surgery, they can very comfortably and most importantly, very safely go home after that surgery and be in an environment that's just more familiar to them. Eat their own food, sleep in their own bed. I think, and you surround yourself with positive energy, positive people, you're going to recover better faster.
Wow. That's amazing. And, you know, Brittany, with those patients that you see, how long after surgery are they going through it simultaneously? Like, are they going right to hair right away? Or
a lot of times when it comes down to that education, that's what we talk about, is we look at maybe some photos prior to what their hair was. And if we can tell that they were thinning before, then we know that they're most likely going to be thinning after. And a lot of times when it comes to chemotherapy, or if they have any sort of mastectomies or any sort of surgeries, is that the body wants to heal that area first. So your hair is not going to be, you know, the first thing to start growing back or get all the nutrients or all the protein that you're eating. So we offer those modalities to help stimulate growth for people.
So when should the cancer patient come to see you?
I would say prior, just so we can get a look at their hair. And if we know that they're thinning, then we can at least give them that game plan after. And a lot of times is they'll come in too with long hair, and we gotta prep them for that. Is that maybe they need a stylist, and we can put them in a right direction of somebody who can do a complimentary cut to get it a little bit shorter for them. And then if they start a treatment with us, we're typically looking at 90 days before we can get about a pixie length. And then maybe about the shoulders, maybe around 1 year, 15 months.
So for a cancer patient, that they should start using laser after their last chemo treatment?
Yeah, 4 weeks prior, they can start using it. Obviously, with chemo, their hair is going to fall out. Our treatment for laser therapy is to help stimulate growth after you've done your treatments.
And chemo isn't the only reason for hair loss when it's related to health issues, right? I mean, I know for me, when I had my third kiddo in my late 40s, I went back to my hairdresser, you know, however many weeks, 6 weeks after having him. And she's like, wow, like my hair was thinning. Then I had my radical hysterectomy years later. Same thing. Boy, your hair's changed again. I mean, our bodies just change. So there's a variety of reasons, many of which are health related.
Yeah. So when the women come in for a complimentary hair evaluations, when it comes down to the education, that's what we're really looking for. We sit down with them for 45 minutes for this complimentary hair evaluation. We go through their medical history, any medications, birth control, any surgeries, any diet changes, keto, vegan.
Everybody's different, huh?
Everybody's.
And so many different factors.
Mm-hmm. So many different factors. And especially if anybody's had recently given birth or anything like that, any recent surgeries. That's what we're trying to identify, because you're going to come in here and say, I'm thinning, I don't know why. And what we do is we try to be the detectives and narrow it down. And once we have it narrowed down, that's when we can go forward with the game plan using our treatments. And like you said before, not everybody may be a candidate for us. And that's why we go through that 45-minute complimentary evaluation to ensure, and that we also establish goals. Because if somebody comes in here and has, you know, thinning hair and they want to look like Kim Kardashian's hair, that's not what we're here to achieve. But if you say, I want to stop my hair loss and make it not look any worse, that's the goal that I can achieve.
Well, and thankfully, wigs again.
Yeah.
If somebody, you know, the extensions and those sorts of things, we have those options. And so much of, I think, our recovery, when we go through catastrophic experiences like this that are life-threatening, what's the word I'm looking for? Reestablishing our self-esteem and our pride of how we physically look and feel, right? And I think that we want to undervalue how important that is sometimes, but really, when we look in the mirror at ourselves each and every day, we've got to like what's looking back at us. Can any of you speak to that? I mean, well, I
your
say
hair,
that
your hair. Sorry, didn't mean to interrupt, but your hair is your is your crowning glory. And
quite honestly, so are breasts sometimes. I mean, really, it's...
In this society, yep. Yes, you're absolutely right. And, you know, your image is important in this society. So National Hair Loss has been able to help our patients get back their hair faster and get back a better quality of hair for our cancer patients. And so they can get back to reliving their life again.
Well, and I had a girlfriend 15 years ago who called. She said, I'd just gone to the doctor. Joanne, I have breast cancer. It was Monday. Thursday, they scheduled her surgery for a double mastectomy done. And she was fine after the surgery and everything. And then a month later, she calls me and I could barely understand her. Like, she was hysterical on the phone. And I'm like, what is wrong? And she goes, my hair is gone. It's falling out. She goes, okay, get this. No problem. Cut my breasts off in 48 hours. I'm fine. Put my hair and I'm crying like a baby. And it was. It was so dramatic. But the best thing about her, one, she's still alive today. And two, is her hair actually grown better than it was before. So I was like, it looks so much. I'm like, wow, it had. She goes, no, I never had hair like this before. So it was a whole different process of what she had thought, mm-hmm. that it was actually better after cancer, which I was just like, wow, see?
I think we all get a little hysterical about our self-image at some point, whether we, you know, want this or don't want that. But especially in this age, we're more inclined to go onto the internet than go and seek professional help in, you know, how many times are we endlessly looking for beauty topics?
And self-diagnosing.
Yes. Yeah. What quick fix is out there.
Which is what's so great about your event, again, that you're providing this free complimentary opportunity to sit with the experts and have all these vendors available just for a day of education, really celebration as well, it sounds like.
Yeah, it's face-to-face. You know, maybe you're a recent, like my friend, you're a recent breast cancer and you're about to go in for mastectomies and you run into Dr. Mehabier and you're just... This guy's the greatest. He's very personable, face to face. And then she had that opportunity to meet him rather than hearing referrals from somebody, rather than saying, you have to go to this guy. She had that ability to make her own decision when it came to her own aesthetics.
Yeah. And that's what, like you said, those community events play such an important role in the education piece of how, because whether it affects you or a friend or a colleague, when you're better educated, like, I don't know how many times a month I refer people, no, go onto their website and click on events, click on mm-hmm. thing. And it's not just at 92nd and Shea. Now that you have 10 sites around the Valley of the Sun.
That's incredible.
You yes. know, they offer different things at different places. So you can go on and you can say, oh, okay, I can go to that Reiki class or I can go to this or do that. The other thing that with Honor Health that I don't think people think about is they have Essential Touch. Mm-hmm. It's a salon at the 92nd and Shea campus in the hospital. And you can get a massage. You can get whatever. But here's the best part. So it's a nonprofit, right? You can't tip.
She's right.
Wow.
So you can't tip. So it's like, oh my gosh, my standard of living just went up. So... Because I actually get an extra massage now.
Right.
But it's incredible. But the other thing is, too, you're helping within the nonprofit of a service that, yes, those professionals can give you, but it's also providing to those in the special programs and in the special things that can happen, you know, get your manicure, get your pedicure, get your massage, and they're amazing. I know recently my daughter just had her baby there and we were waiting, of course, all day. And my mother, who's 88 years old, was getting completely bored. So what did I say?
Yes.
I ran downstairs to Essential Touch. Anyone can do a massage any time of the day. And they're like, we have an opening. So
take her to get a manicure. Yeah. Take her to get a pedicure.
She had the best day ever. She still tells the people in the senior center, well, when my great-great-grandson was born, here's how I spent my day. So it was just a great thing as an add-on to so many of the services that you offer at that location.
And any of the proceeds from that or from Tina's Treasures, because we do have the gift shop, you know, in the boutique environment, all those proceeds go right back to fund all the services that we offer free to the public. Helps us put on events like this one.
Well, and Leanne, Essential Touch is going to be at the event. Is that correct?
They are, yes.
Yeah. Uh-huh. So it's a great opportunity for people to
get to know them.
Yeah,
and,
first.
And a hint to the wise, if they have a massage, usually you can get a 10-minute like little massage. Get there when it opens, because if you run and sign up, you're in for the massage. If
Joanne's
you get
got
there,
it dialed in. Yeah. Joanne's name will be
She's
there.
Been there before.
Three times
you can
tell.
Yeah, no, I'm like, okay, here are the trade secrets. Here's what you do. Run in, get that. Run to get your manicure appointment. And it's great. You know, on a different topic, Doctor, that I wanted to ask you, that I know it's kind of an odd topic for some women to talk about, but the options of nipple reconstruction. I know about breasts, but let's talk about the other part of the breasts.
Yeah, so the first part to think about is whether or not you're a candidate to keep your own, because nowadays a lot of the mastectomies we're doing are what's called nipple-sparing mastectomies,
what?
Where you actually get to keep
what?
Your own.
Wow.
And the oncologics, the cancer side of that, has been shown very clearly that most of the time, that's a very viable, safe option. So the first option is keep your own.
Wow.
If you're not a candidate to be able to keep your own, there's a couple different really great options for reconstruction. In particular, plastic surgeons, we can make you a new one. We just take some of the skin that's already on the breast and we reshape and resculpt the nipple out of that. The advantage, of course, is that it stands up. The disadvantage is it always stands up.
A disadvantage for some.
Yeah. Well, so,
some would see that as a benefit.
Yeah. Well, and so for that reason, some women then elect to have a tattoo only. And the newest thing in nipple reconstruction is these new 3D tattoos. 3D tattoo means they put on not just one color or two colors, but they'll put on the areola, they'll put on the nipple, they'll put on shading. And from even a few feet away, you can't tell that there isn't a nipple there projecting because they've tattooed on the shadows, they've tattooed on the light highlights. And those 3D tattoos nowadays are really phenomenal work.
Wow. So many options, so many things for women to be able to say, this is what I want done, or can this be done? And
lots
how
of choices.
Can this be, right, and how can this be done? I know with Tina's Treasures, Leanne, could you tell us a little bit about the Facing Forward program?
The Facing Forward program is a monthly program hosted by the staff at Tina's Treasures, where we invite women undergoing cancer treatment to come in and help manage the changes to their body, their skin, and their hair. So National Hair Loss is a partner in that. And we take ladies through information on nutrition, oral health, which is something that's not really touched on anywhere else. So we give them information on oral health, exercise, our body, mind, spirit program, and we have an oncology certified esthetician that will address each lady one-on-one. What are your concerns? Maybe their skin is very, very dry. So we're probably not going to address fine lines and wrinkles, but we're going to address hydration to make
which
them more comfortable.
Which addresses fine lines and wrinkles.
Yeah. So she takes them through that. And then everybody, we talk about makeup, maybe how to draw on eyebrows, because not only losing the hair on your head, you could lose your eyebrows and sometimes your lashes. So she will take people through how to fake your eyelashes, how to draw on brows. And then we get into scarf tying and we'll give the ladies a wig if that's what they want to do. And Brittany or her cohort Brandy will be there, and they're great at scarf tying and doing demonstrations, and everybody gets to try it. And they have a lot of fun at this class, and we do it monthly. Some of the feedback that we've gotten from our ladies, and I looked up two little quotes that I wanted to share with you all. Everyone was so friendly, and I didn't feel uncomfortable. And I love this so much. I'm so lucky to have found this organization.
Aww.
So we love doing this. And they leave with a whole new support group of friends after this.
I've got a very naive question. Oral health. Are we just talking about flossing and brushing your teeth? Are that what we're talking about with oral health?
Absolutely.
Okay. I'm like,
absolutely.
I want to make sure I ask that. But I do know how important it is, obviously, that we take care of our mouths. And the symptoms oftentimes show up in our mouth, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Interesting. Okay. Just wanted to make sure I was clear about that. Doctor, can you speak to the difference between BRCA and, you know, being genetically predisposed to breast cancer and environment? I don't really know what I'm asking. And maybe... I just know that I've heard different things. So I've heard that, you know, women who are predisposed to breast cancer because they're genetically, the BRCA gene shows it, right? And they go and they do a voluntary mastectomy. and others say that it's more environment. Do you have any thoughts that you'd be willing to share on the kind of the debate?
Yeah, the BRCA, the BRCA gene, really is just one of the many genes we now know that leads to an increased risk of breast cancer.
One of many.
There is a host of genes, and honestly, they develop new tests, new genetic information all the time. So staying up to date is that's where your geneticists really come in, your medical oncologist really knowing the latest, greatest. Because there's tests on your DNA now to even determine what's the right chemotherapy for you based on your DNA. Mm-hmm. So that's really the premise behind personalized healthcare and individualized care. But as for the difference between genetics and environment, that's probably outside the scope of anything that I'm on top of.
Okay, yeah. And I apologize. I just got to thinking about that, knowing the other conversations we've had with some health providers here in the studio, you know, our food, our environment, our stress level, in addition to our genetic predisposition, it all plays in, really, to Brittany's point again, how positive we are about everything that we're doing. And I recognize, obviously, that you're on the other end of this as you care for your patients when they have been faced with the reality.
And Brittany, with national hair loss, to turn a little bit, you don't have to have cancer to be a client, correct? You can just be experiencing. So how does someone go about setting up a no-cost consultation with your
company? As I mentioned, we have locations here in Arizona. We have office out of the Virginia Piper Cancer Center in Scottsdale. And then we're also out of Arizona Oncology at the Biltmore. We've chosen to be out of oncology centers just to give that resource to those patients there. But we're open to see anybody in the community. I mentioned that you can do a virtual evaluation as well, and they're all set up the same way. So you can go onto our website and click the Contact Us button, or you can call us at 602-283-2355 and ask for a complimentary hair evaluation as well.
And when should people, is there an age, is there a time, what would they be noticing, what would they be experiencing that would say, I think I need to make that call? Or
you know what? I do our marketing, and I know who our clients are and who our audience is. It's the ages of 18 to 35-year-old females. That's who we are seeing. You wouldn't believe that they're coming in for hair loss, but they are. And what it comes down to their diet. It comes down to them being on birth controls, doing hormonal changes. You know, they're not paying attention to what they're eating. Again, I say what they're eating is because I recently took a test that we offer at National Hair Loss. We call it the hair scan. We take samples of your hair. We send it off to a lab. The lab gives you an analysis and breaks it down for you. It can tell you what toxic metals you have in your body, what bacteria are feeding off that toxic metals, and it can also tell you what food and drink intolerances you have. When you get this, all that information is telling you what is lowering your immune system and can be also giving you different symptoms, not only as hair loss, but bloating, fatigue, different things like that are
from
available.
From a hair sample.
Exactly.
I may blow that machine up.
Wow.
So for me, I considered myself a healthy female. I've looked at test results for people. It's myself and the other people that have autoimmune disorders that typically have the larger intolerances to food and drinks. So I can't have any gluten, non-gluten stuff, no sugar, no glucose, no alcohol. No alcohol.
You're describing
no
my daughter.
No caffeine, no chocolate. Basically, what I eat is a 4-ounce meat and as many vegetables as my heart can desire. Since doing that, my hair's grown probably about 6 inches. I've lost about 10 pounds and I feel better. So it's not just about the symptom of the hair loss, but we look at the overall symptoms of the people. What else are you experiencing besides this?
Right.
Yeah.
So important. So much education that we all need to continue to learn. As I always say, the best knowledge we can do is self-knowledge. So to attend the event on Tuesday, September 25th from 5 p.m. to 8 p.m. at the Honor Health Medical Center at Shea in the Brady Conference Center. It was actually located on the front side, so where they can valet park.
Absolutely.
Is where your entrance mm-hmm. is. So many vendors, as you talked about, over 30 vendors who will be attending that event from Essential Touch?
Right. We'll have weight loss experts there. We'll have some exercise physiologists there. We've got the chef. We've got a dietitian that will be there. So she'll be there for some Q&A. And I just wanted to give people the actual address of the Brady Conference Center at the Shea Medical Center. And that's 9003 East Shea Boulevard in Scottsdale. And you can RSVP by calling 623-580-5800. And I just want to let everybody know it is kind of dinner time, so there will be some heavy hors d'oeuvres. So
and they're always healthy, which I get so excited about. They're very healthy, very good. And I know you can also register online.
Absolutely.
By visiting the website.
But you do need to register ahead of time.
That would
help
sense.
Us. Right?
That would, yeah. Yeah. So, and
sense.
That's at honorhealth.com/event.
And, yes. And there's a plastic surgeon that's going to be there as well. I know we mentioned at the top of the show. And again, from 6 to 6:30, is that when you'll be sharing?
So I'll be there for the entire event, and so will many of the members of our team from Gawley Plastic Surgery, because we want to be there, as Brittany said, to be able, just be able to answer questions informally. Sometimes people get that white coat fear. They walk into the doctor's office and forget all the questions they had. We'll be there for the whole event.
Great.
But specifically from 6 to 6:30, I'll have a PowerPoint show with a screen and slides and really try to answer some of the major questions through that talk.
And how can we get a hold of Gawley Plastic Surgery on the internet, or what's the best way to reach you outside of this particular event?
Yeah, GawleyPlasticSurgery.com, and that kind of has all the information for how to get a hold of us, our team, and get a chance to meet some of the team members even before you come in.
And it's GAWLEY.
Correct.
Got it.
And Brittany, the website for National Hair Loss?
Oh, we are nationalhairlossassoc.com.
Great. And those can be found. Before we end today, was there any comments or anything you would like to say?
Yes. I just want to let everybody know that we have some incredible raffle prizes. Each vendor is going to be bringing a raffle. So Leanna and I will be doing raffles every 15 minutes. And I believe we're doing 5 raffles.
Right. 5 every 15 minutes.
Ooh, and those are always fun ones, and I've been a recipient of that, too. My raffle ticket is one, so I love those. Thank you. Anything else?
Well, just to kind of piggyback on the raffle, everybody will get a raffle ticket for coming in, and they can purchase more raffle tickets, again, to support some of the programs over at the Virginia Piper Cancer Center. And we're just looking forward to a fantastic event. I think they'll just be blown away if they've never been to an event with us before.
And a final thank you to the Ladies Leadership Circle, to Business Radio X for having us here today, for promoting the event, for getting that information out there, because we really do want to connect to the community and get everyone, anyone that wants to attend the event, out to attend it.
Well, great.
Our pleasure.
I think that's great. Well, I want to say thank you to the three of you for educating us in a topic that sometimes can be difficult to discuss. However, you showed so much hope for everyone that's experiencing that, whether it be a family member or a patient themselves. And I think that although the news is not good news, the services and the opportunities, I'll say, that you can have to go through that experience is not what it was in the past. It can be done with surrounding yourselves. You know, Brittany, I think you said it best, with the positivity. With you only get on the good bus.
You're only getting on if you're good.
Yeah, you're only getting on the good bus. But thank you. Thank you for being with us. Thank you for sharing. I look forward to attending the event as I always do, and hope the community will come out as well.
Absolutely. I think that's it for today, huh?
Yep.
Thank you again for being on Ladies Leadership Circle, co-hosted by Joanne Holland and Karen Nowicki, here on Business Radio X. Some media leans left, some lean right, and we lean business. Closing thoughts, Joanne.
Yes, we just hope that today's show connected, inspired, and lead you to continue to be and do your best. So I want to say thank you, Karen Nowicki, and I'm Joanne Holland, and make it a great day.